Down to the Wire with your host, Parker Shoemaker.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me on this week's edition of Down to the Wire. I'm your host, Parker Shoemaker, and let's get right into the big topics. Got a lot to talk about this week. We're going to talk about whether or not Dallas, what should Dallas do with Dez Bryant? Should they keep him? Should he go? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about UVA being number one even after a slip-up this weekend against Virginia Tech. We're going to talk about what's going on in Boston and why they can't really find their rhythm right now. Got a big interview with El Gato, the Harlem Globetrotter, and Yu Darvish to the Cubs. So a lot to talk about this week. Let's get started, and we're going to get into our starting five. First topic up is there a new team in Cleveland? And I think, yeah, I think that they're really, really impressing right now. They're playing really well. And I think that Gilbert went out and got what LeBron wanted, and he got a lot of young talent to build around the king. He got a lot of guys that can really get it done. And now whether or not they're going to stay as consistent and as great as they're being right now, I really don't know. I don't know whether or not they're going to be the superstar team that we think they're going to be. But, I mean, Jordan Clarkson is playing great right now. Larry Nance is doing big things and dunking on people like he always does. JR is coming out of nowhere and being the JR that we were used to back in early New York days and in Denver. So it's fun to watch that. But I honestly don't know. I don't know whether or not they're going to be the team that we think that we're seeing right now. I don't know if they're going to be as consistent all the way down. But it's easier for those young guys to play at the level they are because they know they have a safety net. They have an off game. Okay, well, we got LeBron. We got a guy who's going to come out and post a 35, 10, and 10 night. We got a guy who's literally the king, who's in conversations to be the greatest of all time. And it helps you out when you know you have that. And I think that's something that they really love having, and they're not going to complain about it. But I mean, we're going to talk a little bit more about it when we get into the fast break, but I think that this is a new team in Cleveland, and I think everyone in the East needs to watch out. Next topic up is UVA slips up, but is still number one. I've been on the UVA train all season long. I saw them here in Richmond. VCU played them. It was a great game. VCU only lost by 9, but it was fun, and I could really see what this UVA team was about. Defensively, they are a monster of a defensive team, and I think it's going to be fun to watch. I think there's a lot to look forward to with this team because of what they do on the defensive end. How many teams can win and only average around 58 to 59 points a game? Not many can do it. And then finally, Nova slipped up and they lost to St. John's, which bumped them down to number 3. But yeah, I mean, I think UVA can get it done. I think UVA is going to be good. And now they're up, and UVA is now up to number one, even after losing to Virginia Tech in overtime. And I think it's going to be fun to see UVA up top and being the big dogs. Now, next topic up is Sean White. Congrats to that man. He went out. He got it done. He got his redemption. Sean White has 15 gold medals, X Game gold medals, and now has his third Olympic gold medal. Sean White is a beast, and I love watching the Olympics. I love the Winter Olympics. They're so much fun to watch, and it's good to see. I mean, Sean White is somebody I grew up watching as a kid, and to see just like what he's in my, I mean, not as many gold medals, but he is the Michael Phelps of snowboarding, and it's just great to see that he goes out and he finally gets his redemption chance, and he cashes in with a nearly perfect run in the last half pipe run. So it's fun to watch that. Of course, the Olympics are going to be going on for a couple weeks, and I can't wait to see what happens. Next up is, what does Dallas need to do with Dez Bryant? I honestly think they need to keep him. There's no reason to cut somebody who is a top 10 receiver in the league. There's no need to do that. If you have a guy like Dez Bryant on your roster and he's in year 3 with Dak Prescott, he's going to start building, he's going to start getting better. I think that's going to be all right. I honestly see them getting rid of Terrence Williams. I don't see them bringing, I think they're going to trade him away, because I think that Emmanuel Sanders has pretty much said, hey, I want to come to Dallas any way possible. And Dallas is going to go out and get him, and he's shown that he can be a bona fide number two. And with Emmanuel Sanders, I think that's a better duo with Sanders and Bryant. And Dallas gets better at the number two position without getting rid of their number one, because there's nobody in the league that's available right now to be a number one. And the only guy I think that they would be able to make them okay with getting rid of Dez Bryant would be Calvin Ridley from Alabama, and that's not going to happen either. So I think that they're gonna keep him, and that's what they need to do. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Dallas and whether or not Charles Haley was right in his comments towards the team when we get later on in the show. Our final topic of the starting five is Bama. Talking about college football, I just mentioned Calvin Ridley, but Bama wins a national championship, comes back, big game against Georgia. They released the early top 25, the very early top 25, and Bama is not number one. Surprise, surprise. It's so crazy to think that Bama is not number one, but this year they are number two to Clemson. And I think it's because players in high school are starting to realize now, hey, we don't need to go to Alabama. We can go to other schools. I'm a top player in the nation. I can go somewhere other than Alabama. And that's what a lot of players are doing. They're not all five-star top guys going to Alabama and making them even better, which Alabama's going to be great. We don't have to worry about that. But it's just players are going elsewhere, and Bama didn't even have a top five recruiting class. And it's very unusual for that to happen. But Clemson comes out number one. And again, this is very early, so it's subject to change. I think Bama, when the season actually comes around, will be at number one, because defending national champs, their quarterback is a sophomore. He's going to be great. And they have a lot to look forward to. Of course, Nick Saban's still there, so they're still going to be the old Alabama that we all know, love, hate, however you feel about them. They're still going to be here. So it's going to be fun to watch once we get back to it, but we all know that Alabama's going to be on top. But that's going to end it for our starting five. When we get back, we're going to get into the huddle, and we're going to talk some football, and we're going to talk about big money Garoppolo. We'll get to that when we get back right after this on Down to the Wire.
The Huddle.
And welcome back to Down to the Wire. Of course, it's The Huddle, so let's talk football. First topic of conversation is Garoppolo big money. Garoppolo just signed an extension with the 49ers. He has played in a total of 7 NFL games. Just signed a contract, 5 years. He is now the highest paid NFL quarterback in the NFL. And after a small sample, I mean, you can kind of see why, but can you honestly justify it? I don't know. In my opinion, let him play next year. Maybe give him like a 1-year deal and then be like, all right, man, we're going to give you 16 games and we'll go from here. But honestly, in my opinion, he hasn't earned a big-time contract. Maybe like 5 years, I don't know, $60 million maybe? Not over 100. I just don't see why the 49ers would have done it, because if you give him that much money, you're losing that money to go out and get another big free agent to come in, especially after Reuben Foster. He may not even play next year because another NFL player falls victim to hitting a woman. But that's another story for another day. Yeah, Garoppolo, I just don't understand. Like, I get why you want to keep him for the future, because he has shown signs of being the man of the future. I just don't know whether or not he deserves the money right now. I think that they should have gone either with an extension and a smaller amount of money so they could bring in somebody for him to help him out, either on same side of the ball or the opposite side of the ball. Or just say give him 1 year and give him that money now and say, all right, you got 16 games to prove what you're worth. See if you can get it done. And speaking of QB situation, let's head on over to not the Big North. That's Canada. Let's just go to Minnesota. That's what I'm just going to say, Minnesota. That's where I'm going.
three quarterbacks, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford, Case Keenum. All three are free agents. What are they going to do? They're only going to bring back two of them. Case Keenum and Nick Foles both came from Fisherville and got better after they left the Rams. And Case Keenum had a both Case Keenum and Nick Foles had their games of a lifetime. Case Keenum, he pretty much had the season of a lifetime. And then Sam Bradford, he's always that consistent, decent guy. I mean, good guy. He does okay, but he gets hurt a lot. And then Teddy Bridgewater has so much potential as long as he stays healthy. I say bring back Case Keenum as your starter because he's proved that he has earned it. He should be the man. And then bring back Sam Bradford. Just because he is a veteran guy who can be there on the sideline and give just as much knowledge as a coach could. And he's there for backup if you need him. And then let Teddy Bridgewater go because there's teams out there that can offer him just as much money, if not more, and he won't be a third-string quarterback. He'll get the money he deserves. He'll get the playing time he deserves. And hopefully he doesn't go to Cleveland because we all know what happens down there in the quarterback black hole in Ohio. Hopefully he does not go to Cleveland and just disappear. But, yeah, wish the best for Teddy Bridgewater. But I think that that's what Minnesota's going to do is they're going to go with Keenum and Bradford, and Bridgewater is going to find a home somewhere else. Maybe the Jets, if they don't take Mayfield in the first round. Maybe the Giants. He might be making a trip to New York, back up Eli for a year, learn as much as he can, get extra healthy, make sure that knee is right and ready to go, and then who knows? He might be the new face of the New York Giants. That's a little hot take right there for you guys. Y'all heard it here first. Next up is Patricia in Detroit. Does it make a difference? I think yes. I think it's a big difference maker for Detroit because he's a defensive coordinator. He's a really defensive-minded coach, and he's going to make that defense even better. I think that with Slay being a great corner like he is and the defensive pieces that they have plus what he's going to bring in, I think that that defense is going to turn around quick. And I think that they're going to – I think with the offense that they already have, Matt Stafford is an elite quarterback. He has a great arm. I think that they're going to turn around really quick. And with this draft, I don't know – when I say really quick, I don't mean this year. I believe they'll compete like they always do. It'll come down to the last couple games. They may make a wild card, but they're going to lose first round. But next year and the year after that, Green Bay – might not be the top dog in their division anymore. I don't think they are now because I think Minnesota's got that role, but they might not even be the second top dog because after 2 or 3 years of not being the Green Bay Packers that everyone's used to, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to leave, and then Green Bay is going to just completely disappear for a while until they find that next guy because not many franchises get lucky and have Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and then another superstar 3 times in a row. Last take for the huddle before we go to break is, was Charles Haley right? And I think he was. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the starting five. Those guys went in with, we have the best offensive line. Everyone's scared of us. We went 13-3 with a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back. Even though we lost pieces on defense, we're just as good because we stay on the field and our defense doesn't need to be on there as much. And, I kind of agree, but then there's like Zeke was gone. Once they were okay, and then when Zeke left, first 3 games, they were like, the Browns could beat these guys. Like, it was awful. And they turned it around a little bit. They finished 9-7, 2 games above 500. Well, a game above 500. And so it's like, okay, you were above 500. You had 9 wins. You didn't make the playoffs. So is anybody really scared of you anymore? And Charles Haley said that's the attitude that they went into the season with, is they just thought since we went 13-3, we don't have to keep working. We just have to stay the same pace as we are now, and we'll be 13-3 next year. I think that Dallas had that mentality as a Dallas fan, who's someone who follows them very closely, I saw it, and not firsthand, because I obviously I'm never able to be there, but you could see that those guys were just like, hey, we're better than them. We were better than them last year. Why do we need to get any better this year? And I just think that Dallas really needs to turn it around. I think some roster moves need to be made. I hate to see Cole Beasley go, but I see it happening soon because of the talent they have in Switzer. And I think Terrence Williams, he doesn't make it to the final roster in Dallas. He is on a roster in the NFL and is a number two somewhere, but not in Dallas. I think that'll be Emmanuel Sanders. I think he's going to make his way to Dallas before the season starts. And I think a duo of him and Dez Bryant and then Cole Beasley for this last year, I think it's going to be a good duo. And hopefully Rico Gathers can stay healthy and make his way into the NFL and be that big offensive threat at tight end. And Dallas will be back to where they're supposed to be. That's what I think is going to happen, but I do agree that Charles Haley was right, and the work ethic of that team completely diminished from the year before that. But that takes us to our next song break. When we get back after this, we're going to get into some basketball news, a lot to talk about after the NBA trade deadline. So we'll get to that when we get back on Down to the Wire.
Fast break.
And welcome back to Down to the Wire. Like you heard, it's fast break time. So first topic of discussion is a lot of these discussions are kind of playing off of each other because of what happened. And the biggest thing that we all saw during the trade deadline was Cleveland. They made big moves on the 8th. And so right now my first topic is who is coming out of the East. And it's kind of up in the air. Even as a Boston fan, I mean, you got to be biased about it, and you got to say it the way you see it. And right now it's up in the air, and it's not just what Cleveland did, it's Toronto. Because Toronto looks amazing right now. And there is really no powerhouse. There's no Golden State in the East. Who knows? The Pistons may catch fire and knock off a big seed early in the playoffs. Same with the Sixers. I mean, I don't see there is a powerhouse in the East. Cleveland looks great right now. It's just, I don't see, I mean, there's the old JR is coming out of nowhere, dunking on people, knocking down big shots. Jordan Clarkson is a sharp shooter right now from deep. LeBron is being LeBron like always. And they don't have any drama. Their chemistry has gotten better after adding all these players. Rodney Hood is playing great off the bench. George Hill coming into that starting role. He was already a starter, but now he's starting in Cleveland. He's playing great. I just don't see them having a problem until they meet a bigger team in a 7-game series like Toronto or Boston. And I just think that's the way it's... I think that it's fine because I think that that's how it's going to go because each team is building chemistry. So Boston's going to get more chemistry back as they keep going. And so is Cleveland. So I think it's up in the air right now. Honestly, I don't see Toronto doing it though. That's I just don't see it because Toronto kind of does this every year. They're decent. They get really good. And then 3/4 of the way through the season, they go back to decent. And they finish top three, and then they get in the playoffs, and DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they just kind of fall off the face of the earth. And they put up decent numbers, but they just don't put up the numbers that they've been putting up all year. And I think that that's why they don't ever make it anywhere, and I think that's what's going to happen again. I think it's going to be another Boston-Cleveland showdown in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then that one's up for grabs. 7 games, and it's going to be interesting to see who wins it. Because Cleveland has more depth and, I guess, more star power. But Boston is coached to a T with Brad Stevens. Coach Tyronn Lue aka Coach LeBron James, is not that good in Cleveland, and he really doesn't know how to coach a team at all. But I mean Kevin Love will be back, so it's going to be even more interesting to see what happens. Whether or not Hayward comes back, who knows? That'll add some scoring off the bench, because I don't think if he does come back he'll be a starter. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. My next question is, what, feeding off of it, what's going on in Boston? They've kind of, they're not first anymore. They've fallen off. They've been losing a bunch of games. And I think it's because they didn't go get anybody. Danny Ainge is depending on these draft picks coming up, and he's building for the future. But, I mean, if they have a team good enough right now, why not go after it right now? And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think Boston still comes out top two. They still go to the Eastern Conference Finals. And like I said, it's up for grabs. I just think Boston doesn't have the depth that they need it, and they don't have that scoring off the bench, because, I mean, you have Greg Monroe averaging about 10, Marcus Smart averaging about 10, and then Rozier about 12. They really don't have those. They don't have a guy coming off the bench averaging like 15, 16 points. They don't have it. Rozier's given good numbers. I think that Boston's going to be better once they build the chemistry and they get put Monroe in the starting lineup and Horford back at the four, which is where he's been lately because Aaron Baines has been starting. But I think that's what they need to do. Next topic is Utah is hot. I mean hot. They are balling out down there in Salt Lake City, in the big Salt Lake City. They are balling out in Utah. And they just look amazing right now. Gobert is playing great. And then that superstar rookie, Donovan Mitchell, is averaging over 25 a game, having a great year. He's probably going to, I mean, him and Ben Simmons are going to compete, but I think he wins Rookie of the Year this year because he's the true rookie, and he's just doing his thing. But it's going to be, I hope Utah makes it back to the playoffs, because I'd love to see the rookie ball out when it's crunch time and see what he does there. My final topic for fast break this week is, was everyone a winner in Cleveland's trade? I think yes. I mean, who did they lose? They lost Jay Crowder and IT and a couple other players that really nobody cares about. They lost Jay Crowder. He's in Utah now. He's at his first game back, put up 15, and he's a part of a team that's just straight up balling out. He's added a defensive threat to the Jazz. IT, first game, 22 points, 6 assists in L.A. I think when they bring Lonzo back, Lonzo starts at the 2, IT stays at the 1 just to add a scoring threat, and they kind of share bringing the ball up court and stuff like that. But I don't see either one of them sitting on the bench, and the Lakers just got a little bit better out of that. And then Cleveland, look at them. They're playing even better. I still think that the Lakers don't find it this year, and they fall back down, and Boston still gets that pick, which I guess works out in Danny Ainge's favor. But, I mean, I think everyone was a winner in the Cleveland trade, to be honest with you. And I think that Cleveland is going to be a threat again, unlike what everyone thought about a week ago. So it's going to be fun to see what happens in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be fun to see what happens in the playoffs in general with OKC and Houston playing the way they are. But that's going to end it for Fast Break. When we get back, we have the special edition of One-on-One this week. Tune in, and you'll hear me interview El Gato, a Harlem Globetrotter. But we'll be back right after this on Down to the Wire. Welcome back to Down to the Wire. It's the middle of the show, so you guys know what that means. It's time for
One-on-One.
I'm here talking to El Gato of the Harlem Globetrotters. El Gato, thank you for joining me today.
No problem. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good. Enjoying a little drive here in the West Coast, doing promotion for the great tour that we're doing, and I'm happy to be talking to you right now.
Yeah, thanks for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
My first question for you is, being with the Harlem Globetrotters for 5 years now, and you've been to over 70 countries, which country would you say is your favorite?
I think it will be Australia. It will be one of my favorites, but I also like Brazil is amazing. You know, Europe is always, for some reason, I connect really, really good with Europe. Pretty much everywhere, because, you know, people show us love pretty much everywhere, but it's something about Europe and Spain that is amazing.
Yeah, I feel that I haven't been lucky enough to go out of the country yet, but hopefully I'll get to enjoy it sometime soon.
Yes, sir.
My next question is, what is your favorite part of being a Harlem Globetrotter?
I think it's the part of creating experiences for not just for me personally, but for other people, and connected with different people and different cultures, you know, by, you know, the fun part is to make somebody laugh, even if you don't know the language of that person, you know, and they look at you, they see what you do, they appreciate your work, and bringing smiles, no matter what, is actually was the best thing about me being a Harlem Globetrotter.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've been to a couple of shows here in Virginia, and it's an amazing time. I actually loved going to it.
Yes, sir. That's fun.
So I read up on you. It says you're the first and only Puerto Rican to be on the Harlem Globetrotters. What does that mean for you?
Wow. I mean, it's a privilege and an honor to be part of the Harlem Globetrotters as the first Puerto Rican. You know, we a baseball country. And, you know, we produce so many stars in the major leagues, and, you know, like Roberto Clemente and people like that, that for me to go and represent the basketball side of things and not just do it in the United States, but around the world, is something that makes me, you know, my heart cannot even fit in my chest of how big it gets because of that. And now not just Puerto Rico also, but all the Latinos and Hispanics around the world kind of relate with me, and I'm trying to set up a good example for them and the children growing up.
Yeah, it's truly amazing to see you out there and representing your country. And speaking of your country, they went through that hard time with the hurricanes. Did you have any family directly affected by the hurricanes?
Well, I was there during the hurricane.
Oh, wow.
And I spent the hurricane in Puerto Rico. I was chopping and bringing trees down for about 3 weeks because it was devastated. You know, sadly, I lost my grandmother in the aftermath due to no power at the hospital, and the services were not working fully, and a little emergency became a tragedy for my family, and I wasn't just the only one, but a lot of people went through similar situations, and it was rough and still rough, but I think just the good thing about it is to see everybody together helping each other no matter how slow things are going, and see the whole neighborhood together, and that little point that I was there before I started traveling, it was an amazing thing.
Yeah, and first, before we move on, I just wanted to say I didn't know that, but I'm sorry about your loss when it comes to what the hurricane took from you.
I really appreciate it. It was a rough time, but, you know, things happen for a reason, and she's in a better place.
Yeah, I agree with you. My next question is, did you guys, as in the Harlem Globetrotters, do anything for a type of relief help for those affected by the hurricane?
I really don't know that much because, you know, that's things that are actually controlled by the main office, and we have charity. One of our main charities is actually the American Red Cross, and I think we did a lot of things through the American Red Cross to, you know, for disaster relief, not just in Puerto Rico, but also in Texas, and also, you know, the big mudslides and fires that were happening in California as well. So I think, you know, us through using the charity has been a great, great thing for us to not just only pinpoint one people, but everybody else around the world with, especially with disaster relief.
Yeah, I agree. I think what you guys are doing is amazing. My last question for you is, it's not about the Harlem Globetrotters. It's actually about the NBA. I just wanted to see, today was the trade deadline. Did you see any of the big moves that happened?
Man, I've been having conversations about that all day long.
Yeah, and you being out on the West Coast, I'm sure you saw that Isaiah Thomas is now out there playing for the Lakers.
Yes, it's been a big move. I believe, you know, the West Coast was not ready for that, you know, because you're trading a lot of youth and a lot of things that you can build up for the future for Isaiah, which is a great player, but we don't know how he's going to come back from that injury. I think, you know, being a younger team benefits him in some way. But, you know, I think overall the NBA has been shook. I think the Cavaliers have been shook big time from this trade, and we'll see how things are going to start looking after the All-Star break.
Yeah, the Cavs, they made a lot of moves. Do you think they got better after the trades that they made?
I'm not sure. Because, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you starting in zero with a lot of younger guys and halfway the season, you know. And I think, you know, that it will be tough. I believe it's going to be tough. But, hey, you know, this guy's know how to deal with pressure. They do with pressure every day, all day, and I think they're going to find a way. I think it was not a good thing for them to do that big of a trade in the midseason.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be fun to see what happens. But Elgato, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and best of luck to you and the whole Globetrotters when y'all come here to Richmond tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm happy for the guys to go over there, and we're going to have a good time, and everybody come and check us out. And you know, we're getting better and better every year, so come and check us out.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks again for joining me on today's show, Elgato. That's it for this week's edition of One-on-One. When we get back after this, we're going to go to Mound Visit, and we're going to talk some baseball.
And welcome back to the show. Let's get right to the baseball news. Biggest story of the week is one of those free agents I talked about last week is off the board. Yu Darvish has signed a big 6-year contract with the Chicago Cubs. That pretty much right there says the Cubs are moving away from Arrieta because they don't have the money to offer him anything now, and they found their ace over top of him. It'll be him and Lester now instead of Arrieta and Lester. I think it's a good pickup. Darvish goes from one stud NL team to the next, but I think that the Cubs get just as good or if not better in this situation. I think that that's what they needed to do, is they needed to get one of those two pitchers. They either needed to bring back Arrieta or go get Darvish, and that's what they did. Now, there's still a lot of free agents. I mean, pitchers and catchers have reported, which is the best news since the Super Bowl. And I think there's a lot of free agents that still need to be brought in. Arrieta, pitchers and catchers have reported, and he didn't report anywhere. He is still a free agent, and the guy is still a stud. I think... I'm just so shocked about this. I still think that there's going to be a chance that this might be like the 95 year, the protest year, or the strike year, whatever you want to call it. I think that there's a lot going on here that nobody really knows about because it's happening behind closed doors. Nothing bad. It's just front offices don't want to reach out to players, and players, they can't come to an agreement. I think right now what the players need to do, these guys that are out there, the J.D. Martinez, Arrieta, Lucroy, those guys that are still out there, I think they just need to suck it up and take a pay cut. Y'all don't need $200 million. You don't need $100 million. You just need to go out there and sign maybe a 1-year deal or a 2-year deal for like $40 million and just take it like that. You don't need 6 years, $200 million. Just take a smaller paycheck, get on a team that can possibly contend this year, or you can make better, and go get it done. Go win a championship or something. The last topic that I really got to talk about is where I would want them to go. And, of course, I'm going to be biased about it when it comes to this situation. I want J.D. Martinez to Atlanta. Him, Okuna, and Inciarte. Of course, Nick Markakis will be starting at the beginning, but Okuna won't be long. And once Okuna comes up, he'll take over for Markakis. Markakis will be a role-playing guy until the season is over with, which I then see him either retiring or go somewhere else. But that outfield, Martinez, Inciarte, Okuna, and then, of course, if they play an AL team at the AL field where they have to use a DH, J.D. Martinez is in for DH, and then you put Nick Markakis out there in the outfield. I think it's a great pickup for Atlanta, and I think that they need to go out and get him. And obviously, Boston is not working out for Martinez. They cannot come to an agreement. So I'd like to see him fall down into Atlanta. Also, Luke Roy, he loves playing in the NL. He did have a stint with the Rangers here lately, but he loves playing in the NL. Bring him down to Atlanta. They really don't have much of a catcher. Tyler Flowers, Kurt Suzuki, those guys are not superstars. They're role players. Why not bring Luke Roy in, who has good veteran skills? He's known for being a big time player, and let him come down there and make the Braves even better. And then once you have a great veteran catcher like that, your pitching staff automatically becomes better. That's why the Cardinals have been so good lately. They have a great catcher, but I think that's what happens. I'd love to see at least J.D. Martinez come to Atlanta, which I think is a huge possibility. I would not mind it at all, and I think it'd make the Braves better and put them one closer to getting up there with the Nationals and somebody else winning the NL East. But that's going to end it for Mound Visit, and when we get back, we're going to talk student section on the bubble, rapid fire, and we're going to end the show with some good predictions. We'll be back on Down to the Wire right after this.
Do you want to hear the latest happenings around VCU athletics and club sports? Whether it's the fast-paced tempo of VCU basketball or the guys and girls running with brooms between their legs, otherwise known as Quidditch, make sure you tune into The Aftermath on Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m. on WVCW.org.
Let's go, VCU!
Student Section.
And welcome back to the last segment of Down to the Wire. Student section here, first topic. I wasn't completely right, but I knew they were going to fall. Villanova down for the count against St. John's. St. John's, I mean, comes out of nowhere, 11-game losing streak, and they beat Duke and Villanova, number one and number three at the times. But, yeah, knocks off Nova. They're down to three now, and I saw it coming. And then another prediction that I got right, I got this one actually right, but Purdue falls to Michigan State. Michigan State bumps up to number two now. It's UVA, Michigan State, Nova, and number four is Xavier. So right there's your top four in the nation, but Purdue fell to not only Michigan State, but they also fell to Ohio State. So just not a good week for the Boilermakers right now, but I kind of saw it coming. And then Oklahoma finally gets back into the rankings and loses again. I don't know that Texas Tech is also ranked, and they just put it to them, beat them by 10, and a lot of overrated chants were heard at the arena while Trey Young has been struggling mightily here lately. But, yeah, it seems like Oklahoma, like I predicted, is a bust this year, not going to be much of a team. And it kind of reminds me of the Buddy Hield Oklahoma team back in 2016. They just kind of, they were a good team. They had a great superstar, and they just couldn't finish. And the last thing is the ACC is the conference to beat right now, and they just look strong with UNC still being up there, Duke, UVA, Virginia Tech obviously showed they can compete by beating UVA this year. I think it's going to be fun to see what happens out of the ACC conference tournament. And then the ACC is going to pretty much run the show, I think, when it comes to March Madness. But ACC is the conference to beat right now. And we're going to move on to our next segment.
On the bubble.
My three teams on the bubble this week are the Phillies. They're the Phillies, man. They haven't made many big moves. Pitchers and catchers have reported, and nothing is being done there. I don't know what's going on, but they really got to get it done. They got to make some changes. If you look at their history, they went from world champions, and every year they've got progressively worse. They won it. They made it back to the World Series, lost it. They made it to the NLCS, lost it. They made it to the NLDS, lost it. And then every year, it just progressively got worse until now they are the worst team in the MLB, competing with the Cincinnati Reds for that mark. But, yeah, it's just sad to see that the Phillies just can't get it done, and they don't make any big moves. They're not helping themselves out. They're trading away their good players, and they're not bringing anything in return or even making any moves. Their farm system is not one of the best. It's up there, but it's not like a top dog. It's not like the Braves where they're going to be good in a year. The next team is the Eagles, and the reason they're here, Super Bowl chance. Parker, what are you thinking? They got to figure out what they're going to do at quarterback. Nick Foles stay? Should he stay or should he go? Final team is the Raptors, and I say this because they need to make sure that they're staying on top of where they're at and not fizzling out like they usually do. So, those are very bold on the bubble teams other than the Phillies, but that's the on the bubble right now. Final segment of the show is
Rapid Fire.
And now that we are in Rapid Fire, we're going to end the show with some predictions here. Tech versus number 12 Duke. Virginia Tech comes out victorious in this one. I think they get it done. They show that they can beat the number 1 team. They're going to beat the number 12 team here coming up. Rhode Island, number 16, Rhode Island versus St. Bonaventure, 19-6, St. Bonaventure. They're going to get it done, and Rhode Island's going to continue to keep going. Villanova versus Xavier, 3-4. Nova picks up a win there, gets back on track. Ohio State versus Michigan, always the fun one that we'd love to see, but I believe Ohio State will sink that win right there. Celtics versus Clippers tonight. Celtics pick up that win. Heat versus Sixers. Sixers will take the dub there. And then Warriors Trailblazers. Warriors are going to win that game, but Dame and McCollum are going to drop 80 combined. Those two. They're going to have big games tonight, but it's going to be fun to see what happens. That is actually tomorrow night. And then we have the All-Star break this weekend, so a lot of fun things to look forward to coming up in the NBA. A lot of big news happening, and I'll see you next week on Down to the Wire. I'm your host, Parker Shoemaker. Thanks for listening.